यथा हि अवहितो वाणी नानायव भाति विश्वात्मा भूतेषु च तथा पुमा
यथा as much as he, exactly like avahita, surcharged with vani, fire, darushu, in wood, eka, one, svayonishu, the source of manifestation, nana iva, like different entities, bhati, illuminates Vishwa-atma, the Lord as Paramatma, Bhuteshu, in the living entities, cha, and tatha, in the same way, Puman, the Absolute Person. Translation. The Lord as Super Soul pervades all things. The Lord, as Super Soul, pervades all things, just as fire permeates wood. The Lord, as Super Soul, pervades all things, just as fire permeates wood. And so, He appears to be of many varieties. Though He is the Absolute One without a second. The Lord as Super Soul pervades all things just as fire permeates wood. And so He appears to be of many varieties. Though He is the Absolute One without a second. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Lord Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by one of His plenary parts, expands Himself all over the material world, and His existence can be perceived even within the atomic energy. Matter, antimatter, proton, neutron, etc. are all different effects of the Paramatma feature of the Lord. As from wood, fire can be manifested, or as butter can be churned out of milk. I repeat, as from wood, fire can be manifested, or as butter can be churned out of milk, so also the presence of the Lord as Paramatma can be felt by the process of legitimate hearing and chanting of the transcendental subjects which are especially treated in the Vedic literatures like the Upanishads and Vedanta. So, as from wood, fire can be manifested, or as from butter, churned from milk. Similarly, Paramatma feature is realized how? By the process of hearing and chanting. Srimad Bhagavatam is the bona fide explanation of these Vedic literatures. The Lord can be realized through the oral reception of the transcendental message, and that is the only way to experience the transcendental subject. As fire is kindled from wood by another fire, the divine consciousness of man can similarly be kindled by another divine grace. His divine grace, the spiritual master, can kindle the spiritual fire from the wood-like living entity by imparting proper spiritual messages injected through the receptive ear. From the wood-like living entity by imparting proper spiritual messages injected through the receptive ear. Therefore, one is required to approach the proper spiritual master with receptive ears only. And thus, divine existence is gradually realized. The difference between animality and humanity lies in this process only. Which process? Hearing process. That's the difference between animals and human beings. A human being can hear properly, whereas an animal cannot. Basic difference.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatam Maham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivatadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanan Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Sato Jayamudhiraye Nashta Prayeshwa Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtiki
The Lord as Super Soul pervades all things just as fire permeates wood, and so He appears to be of many varieties, though He is the Absolute One without a second. Gravity will act on it eventually. Thank you. So, this verse is all about, there are two themes in this verse. The first theme is on Paramatma realization. So, it's defining Paramatma and Paramatma's features. And the second part of Srila Prabhupada's purports talk about the fact that this Paramatma can be realized only by hearing, oral reception. Which, who can do? Only human beings can do. Animals cannot do that. So there are two themes here. So, in India, many people go on pilgrimage. Right? So I remember that someone who I know went on a pilgrimage once. And they are not practicing devotees. So it's a typical pilgrimage of people who have no idea about who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is the process of self-realization, and what is the goal of human form of life. But still people go on pilgrimage. Why do people go on pilgrimage? Even without, despite not having any of this knowledge, why people go on pilgrimage? To feel holy. Right? So in India there is a common saying, sab paap dhul jayenge. Hum holy dham jaake aayenge. We will go to the holy places so that all our sins will go away. And then we can start our fresh quota of sins after that. Right? So people go on pilgrimage. But such people who do not have the right mood or right philosophical understanding of what to do in a pilgrimage, what kind of pilgrimage do they land up with? Typically, I was hearing from someone, someone went to a pilgrimage. They went to Mathura and came back. Just a few years back. So I asked, Aunty, Mathura mein, how was your picnic? Pilgrimage? Okay. She said, bahut maja aaya. Very good it was. We had so much fun in the train compartment. So I said, yeah, is it? What did you all do in the train compartment? She said, the lady in the next building, she had brought bhajiya. The lady here, she brought bhujia. Then we had Karjat, so nice tea it was in Karjat station. You know, so much fun in the train. We sang so many songs. I said, what songs did you sing? No, everything. We sang Sai Baba. We sang Bollywood. We also sang so many things. And because this was Mathura, no? Therefore, Hare Krishna also we sang. So, you know. So this was the mood. And then what happened? They went and said, what did you do there after going there? We took bath in all the holy dhams. We took bath in Radha Kund, Sham Kund, everywhere we took bath. And we got water also for everyone. So very nice. It is very good. And then what happened? And then we also got photographs. And now I have put on the altar. Right? So there were so many photographs on the altar. He said, where did that photograph come from? That came when we went to Shirdi. Where did that photograph come from? That came when we went to Coimbatore. Something like that. It was going on and on and on. There are so many photographs in the altar. Right? So there was complete confusion. And then we have got cassettes also. And then they go to a holy dham and we'll buy cassettes and photographs. And all this will end up on the altar. And now I said, now what are you doing? I said, yeah, it has been really 2 weeks, you know, that we have been out of, you know, Bombay. So now I'm catching up on what happened in Kyunki Saas Bhi Bahu Thi. The TV serial which was there, you know, for 10 episodes we have lost now. So all the building people, we are together discussing what we have lost in the TV serial. This is a real actual conversation. Right? As it is being narrated to you. And we have formed new friend circle. Said, what happened? What do you do in the friend circle? So we learned so many things about, you know, people when they go on the yatra. What kind of people come for the yatra? Look at that person. What that person did in the yatra. Look at this person. What they did in the yatra. How come people do this? Look at the dham itself. So much pollution is there in the dham nowadays. You know, people, nobody cares. Just people, you know, everywhere you go, there is gutter in Vrindavan. No, there is it's very austere there. So, in one sense, it's very difficult to be in the dham for a long time because of all this pollution. And look at the people also there. People come and pester you for money, donations, this, that. So, this is the mood after coming back from yatra. Now, what is this mood? This mood is certainly, definitely not Shuddha Sattva mood. Right? It's purely not a mood of someone who is returned from yatra in the transcendental mode of goodness, above the modes of material nature. This mood is nothing but something, is a mixture of mode of ignorance and mode of passion. Now why this is happening? Why does this happen? Simply because it is written in Srimad Bhagavatam, I think it's in the 11th canto probably. 11th or 12th canto, maybe in the 10th canto. It is mentioned that people who think of themselves as the body, who do not have any knowledge, neither of Sambandha Gyan, neither of Abhideya Gyan, nor of Prayojana Gyan, when such people who have never taken shelter of a spiritual master, who have never heard Srimad Bhagavatam in their life, who don't know the goal of life, they go for a pilgrimage, then this is the result. They think they are the body. They go with all their attachments to family and friend circles, right? And they think that going to the holy dham is, they see the whole holy dham simply as a body of water. To just go and dip yourself inside and then come out thinking that all my sins have now gone away. So in Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned that such a pilgrimage is like the pilgrimage of cows and asses. Srimad Bhagavatam is saying that in the 10th canto, I think 83rd chapter or somewhere. Right? Cows and asses. So this is the problem. Therefore, it is very important that when devotees go for a yatra, we understand the purpose. The essential goal behind going for any yatra is to purify ourselves, is to intensify our spiritual greed for Krishna, to intensify our spiritual activities and to mold our field of activities. So we have a particular field of activities. For example, typically our field of activities on Monday morning is go to the office, and then for 10 hours or 12 hours or whatever that it takes, then we have to go and work with so many people who are in the mode of passion and ignorance. Largely, you know, very rarely we'll find someone who's in the mode of goodness at workplace. Very rarely. We'll find some smattering here and there, but largely it's like that. So most of the time this is our field of activities, right? And then when we come back in the evening and attend Bhakti Vaibhav class, or next day Srimad Bhagavatam, or in the weekends when we come, then it's a breath of fresh air. We recharge all our batteries and again we lift ourselves from that mode to the mode of transcendental goodness. So when we go to the holy dham also, and then when we lift ourselves then to the transcendental mode of goodness, it should then have an impact. If we rightfully attend the Srimad Bhagavatam class, if we are disciplined and attentive in our hearing and chanting, then it should have an impact in our field of activities. We then gradually have to see that we are becoming lesser and lesser passionate about our field of activities, and our field of activities in material life should gradually shrink and our field of activities in spiritual life should gradually increase. And yatra provides, a pilgrimage truly provides that kind of a advantage to lift us, to be able to do that. So there are two verses in Bhagavad Gita in context. The first one from Bhagavad Gita is from Bhagavad Gita 18.61, which says, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hrid deshe arjuna tishtati. So it is mentioned here, Lord Krishna is saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is me, Lord Krishna is saying, is residing along with the living entity within the heart of the living entity. So the Paramatma is residing within the heart of the living entity. Again in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, the Lord mentions, Kshetrajnam cha api mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. The Lord is saying, you Arjuna are the knower of your bodies, right? And you spirit souls, you jivas, you are all the knower of your bodies. So the body is called as the kshetra, and the knower of the body is called as kshetrajna. So you people are the knower of the bodies. But he says, please understand that I am also the knower of all bodies. He says, you are the knower of your body, but I am the knower of all bodies, right? And to understand this body and its knower is the purpose of real knowledge and the purpose of real pilgrimage. To understand this, that we are spirit soul, this body is a kshetra, we are the kshetrajna, but though we may know our body, there is somebody who knows all the bodies. Srila Prabhupada typically gives an example of a king and a citizen. Srila Prabhupada says that the citizens may know the context of their lives, but the king knows the context of everyone's lives. So like that. In fact, in modern day, we ourselves don't know our own body. That is a different thing. We have forgotten that as well. Because most of the people think they are the body. And even of people who think they are the body, we are not able to understand why we fell sick, and we are not even able to understand how we got cured. So we don't know the functioning of our body itself. Because if anything goes wrong, we have to go to a third person to understand our body. What's happening? So, in one sense, even the fact that we are conscious of our body, that itself has become diluted in Kali Yuga. Whereas the yogis in those days were able to know. The devotees in Satya Yuga, people knew their bodies very well. That's why they were able to manipulate their bodies to do so many things. Either gain mystic powers or to dovetail their bodies in devotional life. So this Paramatma who is inside the heart along with the Jiva, the Paramatma has got two jobs. One is an external job and one is an internal job. There are two jobs which the Paramatma does. It is said that the Paramatma has the job of Upadrishta and Anumanta, which means the Paramatma observes our activities and observing our activities, the Paramatma then gives direction to our activities, gives direction to our life. Sometimes we want to do something and there is an inner voice which says stop, don't do that. For non-devotees, typically it is maybe meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. And for devotees, sometimes we want to blaspheme devotees and then somewhere inside the heart it says stop, stop, stop. You know, we are so upset with some devotee and then it's our choice whether to listen to that or to vent it out. We always have that choice. But that voice which comes from inside, stop, is that Paramatma. So the Paramatma is Upadrushta and Anumanta. But the Paramatma, as much as the Paramatma guides and directs, the Paramatma also sanctions our activities. Okay, fine. You are at this level? Fine. Go ahead. No. Right? But then we will have to bear the reactions. So the Paramatma is also noting down what we have done. So he knows everything. Right? Though nobody has seen what we have done, Paramatma has definitely observed and noted down. And it is mentioned that Paramatma keeps noting down these activities, and in the next lifetime, whatever we attain, whichever kind of body and life that we attain, whatever circle of activities, kshetra that we attain, field of activities, then that is dependent on what our desires and what our merits are, which that Paramatma very well knows. Right? So, the Paramatma, as I said, has got two jobs. One is the external job and one is the internal job. So what is the external job? Externally, it is mentioned in the third chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna expands as Balaram. Balaram expands as Narayana. Narayana expands as the Chaturvyuha expansions. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha and Pradyumna. From that Sankarshan, which is called as Mula Sankarshan, comes the expansion of another Chaturvyuha set of expansions, which is another Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Aniruddha and Pradyumna. That Sankarshan is called as Mahasankarshan. And from that Mahasankarshan comes Mahavishnu. Right? All these personalities are in the spiritual world. And then there is the Viraja River, which is the Karanodaksai ocean. And then on this side is the material world. Okay? So that Mahavishnu lies on the causal ocean, and from his universes come millions and millions of egg-shaped universes. If you zoom into one universe, if you do, what is that, Google map, into one universe if you go and zoom, inside every universe, that Mahavishnu then comes and resides as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu in the causal ocean. And from the causal ocean, from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's navel, come 14 planetary systems. The heavenly planetary systems, the earthly planetary systems, the subterranean heavenly planetary systems, and then the hellish planetary systems. All are there. Right? Now this Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he is there in each and every material universe. Because Mahavishnu has expanded like that. Mahavishnu also expands into Sirodakshaya Vishnu for the maintenance purpose of this universe along with Brahma and Shiva. So this Sirodakshaya Vishnu essentially expands as Paramatma inside each and every living being's heart. So, the example is normally given, which normally I tell in my Bhakti Vriksha programs, that somebody asked me, you know, 2 weeks back in my Milpa program, someone asked that you talk about the fact that this world is a miserable place and we have forgotten, you know, our relationship with God and therefore we are suffering and then by devotional life we have to go back. He said, but why did God create this material world, first of all? Please explain to me, when he knows that it's a place of suffering, why did he create this material world? So, then the example is usually, you know, given that if a child who is, let's say Vrinda is there now, if Vrinda tells her father that I want to drive your Honda Accord car, let's say she starts crying, howling after this class, that I want to start driving, I will drive today till Ormond and Glen Huntly from the temple. Now, obviously, her father and mother love her very much. But because her father and mother love her very much, can she sanction every demand of hers? Not possible. Because while she thinks that driving a Honda Accord to Glen Huntly house is very enjoyable experience, but her father and mother know that it is fraught with danger because she doesn't know how to hold a steering wheel. Right? She has not still come of that age where she can handle a car. Right? So, the parents tell that, no beta, no, my dear, you cannot drive this car because it is dangerous. But then the child may say, start crying and howling loudly, saying that, no, I want to drive this car today. And then the child is very unhappy. And then the parents cannot bear that, obviously, because the parents still love the child. So the parents say that, okay, hang on. You want to drive car? Okay, fine. Just give me 5 minutes, we'll drive car. So the parents take the child to go-karting or to Crown Casino. And then what do? They'll put $1 coin inside that machine and then the car starts. And then those graphics come and then sometimes you have a goggle or you have a bike and then you're going zoom. And all the vehicles are going, you're crashing somewhere, right? And so many other people are also driving and you also think that you are driving and we are in control. At the end of that, then the child is very happy. And then the child is saying, look daddy, look, you know that truck was coming and I did like this and I controlled like this and finally I reached my destination. And the daddy says, very good, you are a really expert driver now. And the child says, thank you daddy. And the child is thinking that he or she has become an expert driver. The child is thinking that he or she has driven a car. But the father knows that all this is illusory at the end of the day. All this is false. The child was never drove a car. The child was never the controller. But it was simply that illusion was created because the father loves the child and the father doesn't want to take away the free will of the child in terms of the child being obedient to the father. And that's why Lord Krishna created this material world. Because some souls, despite Krishna's instruction, wanted to enjoy separately. So Lord said, hang on, not here. There is a place where I'll give you. You will be under illusion. You will happily think that you are the controller over there. And you can enjoy. And you will be completely convinced that you are the center of that universe. Right? And then when the child grows, eventually the child turns to the father and says, daddy, I was so stupid, you know. You remember that day that I cried loudly that I want to drive? Thank you that you did not allow me to drive that car because I wouldn't have survived to see you today. So, when a devotee then, after many years, starts looking at Krishna, then the devotee understands that, yes, thank you very much for not giving me whatever I had prayed for. Thank you very much that during those college days, that girlfriend who I wanted, I did not marry her. Thank God. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't have married a devotee wife today. Right? Okay, so, after many years, we realize those wisdom, right? At what's happening in our life. So, perfectly somebody is guiding us at all stages of life. Our failures are also auspicious and our victories are also auspicious. Okay? So, this is the job of Paramatma when once we turn to Him. Or, we have turned to Him sometime in the past life. Then He still guides us. So, the Lord is so merciful, just like for example, the father still does not tell the child, my dear child, now you can't drive Honda Accord, so why don't you go to Crown Casino yourself and put $1 coin? The father doesn't say, because the father feels, no, I cannot send my child alone to that Crown Casino. It's a place fraught with danger, so I will also go to Crown Casino with my child. So father also goes to that Crown Casino. Thus, Lord expands as Paramatma and comes along with us to this material world and is resident in each of our hearts. So that is how great or how compassionate our Lord is. That we want to leave Him, but He doesn't want to leave us. He doesn't even want to leave each and every soul. What to speak of soul that Lord expands into each and every atomic particle also. He is not only resident inside a living entity, but He is also resident inside non-living entities. So therefore it is mentioned that this Paramatma verily is the source of all atomic power. Anything and everything is moving or has energy in this world because of this Paramatma. If this Paramatma, the scientists may say, okay, atom is the smallest particle. And then after 50 years they will say, we made a mistake. It's not atom, it's electron is the smallest particle. And then they may say, okay, electron is there, then nucleus is there, and then the electrons are revolving around the nucleus. All those theories they'll give. But if you ask the scientist, why are the electrons and how are the electrons moving around the nucleus? Why the electron doesn't decide, okay, no, let me go the other way for a change. Because I'm fed up of this route now. So what keeps that in order? Or after some time, does the electron, do you have to take a stone for example and you have to charge it in some battery charger so that the electron continues revolving and slowly the electron dwindles. It has never happened like that. The electrons keep moving around the orbit. So obviously there is some energy behind that, which keeps the electron moving around that orbit perpetually. tending towards infinity. There is no cessation in that process. Now, where does that energy come from? So, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam that that energy is given to the electrons through Paramatma. That is Paramatma who has expanded into each and every atomic particle. Energy is coming from there. So, the Lord has an external duty, right, of ensuring that this cosmic manifestation is running. That's why Krishna says, Mayadhyakshena Prakrite Suyate Sa Characharam. He says, which means the entire material world is working under my adhyaksha or under my control, under my direction. He says like that. Okay. And then he is expanding himself into, as Paramatma, into each and every atom. And also the Lord is expanding into each and everyone's heart, saying that I am creating this wonderful material energy for you, where electrons, atoms, protons, all these are there. They will coagulate into various meaningful items for your sense enjoyment. But I will also be there inside your Paramatma to tell you that this material world is illusory and that you should come back to me. So he is doing both. He is doing that external job of giving us that illusion, and he is doing an internal job of also suggesting us that this is illusion and come out of this illusion. So he does both. However, it is up to the living entity also to accept that. So, the Lord, so if you see, the Paramatma is the same. Srila Prabhupada said that there is no difference between any living entity, because all living entities are spirit soul. The basic characteristic of living entity is Satchidananda. We are all spirit soul. There is no difference, because all of them, all of us have come from the spiritual world. And we have all come from the same source. Mamaiva Amsha Jivaloke. You are all my Amshas or my fragmental part and particles. So qualitatively we are all one. Then why still are we different? Why does someone behave in a particular way, whereas someone else behaves in a particular different way totally? Why are we having different interests? Someone has interest in sports, someone has interest in music, someone has got an angry demeanor, someone has got a very sober demeanor. Why are we all different if we are all coming from the same spiritual particle or substance, if you like? Right? That is because Srila Prabhupada says that the soul comes in contact with different permutations and combinations of the modes of material nature. And Srila Prabhupada writes, there are three. 3 into 3 is 9, then 9 into 9 is 81. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the Bhagavatam purports, I think in 3rd canto or somewhere. And then there are so many permutations and combinations of different percentages of modes of goodness, passion and ignorance and their combinations. So, the summum bonum of all those permutations and combinations is 8.4 million species. So, depending on a particular set of parameters that we have, or a particular ratio of mode of goodness, passion and ignorance and desires that we have, then we will get one of those 8.4 million species. Okay. So therefore, if you see this verse, that the fire is the same. The fire is the same. The fire is there inside the wood. But the wood is different. Therefore, the same fire gives different flame. If we light the gas stove in our house, then the flame is different. If Yangeshwar Prabhu is doing a yagya, then the flame is different. The fire is the same. The wood is different, and therefore the flame is different. The wood may be different in different ways. The size of the wood may be different, or the moisture content in the wood may be different. His Holiness Kadambakaran Maharaj gives this example that some devotees take to spiritual life very fast, whereas some people, to come to one round itself, they'll take 5 years. Or to come to 16 rounds, they will take 10 years. Right? Why does this happen? Because each of us have, the wood has got different moisture content. That wood, which has got zero moisture content, one simple spark is enough to burn and make that person a devotee, to burn all his sins. Whereas, if the wood has got too much moisture content, all that sadhana which we do is to first remove that moisture content. The heat first acts to change the state of water, right, and to evaporate that water, and after that then the wood starts burning. So that is why, though this Paramatma is the same, still the impact of Paramatma on various jivas is different all the time. There is an interesting so the conclusion what Prabhupada says is that material life will always give you a battering. But if we understand this principle, that Paramatma is inside us and guiding us, no matter what condition we are in, we can attain success from the pangs of material misery by turning to this Paramatma. But to turn to this Paramatma, we have to understand that we are not this body, neither are we the controller of our bodies. We are not this body, neither are we the controller. It is the Paramatma who is inside, who is the real controller of this body. Right? So, in this context, there is a story which I would like to tell you. This story is an allegory. Like, you know, we have the allegory of Puranjana in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this is an allegory which has been written by His Holiness Hridayananda Maharaj Goswami, right? So here he is writing a novel, and this is an excerpt, do you call it? Excerpt from that novel, right? Something which we have just taken out from that novel. So, there is this personality or character, if you like, whose name is John Urban. This person is called as John Urban. John Urban has a desire to enter various cities for sense enjoyment. John Urban develops a desire one day to enter various cities for material enjoyment. So it is mentioned that John Urban goes from one city to the other. First, he says that, okay, I am fed up of this city. I want to go to some city which is where I can have aerial abilities, flying in the air. So he goes to a city and he enjoys those kind of facilities. Then he wants to enjoy Aqua City. Sometimes we also want to enjoy Aqua City, right? We say Aqua City and then we go to, you know, Brisbane or somewhere and then go under the water, right? So he wants to enjoy Aqua City, right? So then he is provided facility. Okay, go enjoy Aqua City. So like that, in his quest for sense gratification, he is moving from one city to the other to the other. And finally one day, he comes across a city which is very advanced. He sees that this city is more advanced than all the other cities that I have seen before. So, he comes, enters this city and immediately takes shelter of that city and starts living in this city. Now, in this city, he sees what is called as human beings. And he sees that almost everyone in this city is treating him as if he is the master. Right? Everybody is treating him so well in this city. So he is very, very happy. Right? Not only are they treating him very well, but they are allowing John Urban to control everything. So the treatment is very good, and also John Urban is now controlling everything in that city. So, in this city, it is mentioned that in the center of the city, something unique is happening. What happens in the center of the city? He finds that day in and day out, soldiers who are dressed in black uniform, some of them in black, some of them in white, some of them in different colors, they are all walking around this city, all over the city. So, and he's very attracted to this, the clothing which these soldiers are wearing. For example, I heard in one lecture that in London we had a Harinam, and some devotees objected to the, people in London, they objected to the Harinam, saying that these Hare Krishnas are a nuisance. They come and make noise on the streets. No. So they went to court. Now what happened was, finally when the judge gave his decision, the judge had also seen Harinam. So the judge saw that it's a wonderful procession, you know, people in saffron colors, different colors, singing and chanting and going along the streets. So the judge said, what is the problem you people have with these, you know, devotees? They are doing nice, you know, singing and chanting of the holy names, and the fact that they are wearing saffron, none of you are wearing saffron color. So this color is very different. It's bringing unique variety into this city of colors. And that was the ruling that the judge gave. So he ruled in favor of Hare Krishna. So he said, these people are required because they bring color to the city. So, sometimes we get attracted to these colors. Of course, this is a genuine color which we to get attracted. But here, John Urban was getting attracted to the dresses of his soldiers because they were wearing different color dresses and marching in the center of the city. Now, not only that, the soldiers used to come up to him and the soldiers used to ask him, do you have any problem, John? How's it going? Can I do something for you? So John said, oh yeah, nothing really. You know, this weather is a bit hot, that's the only thing. Weather is hot, no problem. We'll change the climate for you. Right? We'll put air conditioner in your house. Oh no, it's very cold. No problem. We'll put gas heater for you. We'll serve you. So the soldiers were always serving John Urban. So John Urban said, what is this? Looks like probably he started thinking, maybe I'm the mayor or something of the city. That's why these people are serving me. I must be someone really important. And then John Urban used to enjoy this. And then he used to love the city so much that he used to then go out for walks. And he went for walks. He saw that everywhere there were restaurants, whatever type of food he wants, he's getting everything in the city. He can roam anywhere. So he really got convinced that this is the place where I should settle down comfortably now. Everything is so nice in this place. One day, John Urban, when he was going around the city, he landed up in a unique place which he had never visited before. This place was at the far end of the city, in one corner. And it crossed all the external boundaries of the city. So when he went there, he saw a huge board. In that board, it was written that the biggest institute in this city is located here. So John Urban was thinking, hang on, I'm the mayor of the city. I should be knowing everything. How come I did not know of this particular institution? Nobody told me about it. So he went inside that institution and then he saw a board at the entrance of the institution said that the name of this institution is called a City Academy. City Academy. So he entered the City Academy. As he entered the City Academy, he went and was observing the City Academy and he went to the library of the City Academy. When he went there, he saw one lady in the corner, very blissful looking. She said, hi John, how are you? You come finally. So he said, what? How do you know my name? He said, John, I know your name. I am your friend. I have been with you through all the previous cities also which you have visited. Right? Therefore, I know you very well. So, come on, welcome. What can I do for you? So John asked, what's your name? So he said, my name is Buddhi. Okay. So the lady introduced herself. So, John Urban, on meeting this lady, he asked her, but this city is so very different than all other cities that I have seen. All the cities that I have seen so far, all these facilities, like for example, all these facilities for sense gratification were always there with me. But in this city only, I found City Academy. This City Academy I didn't find in any other city, she said. So, Buddha said, okay, hold on. I will explain to you what is this City Academy all about. This printout has come so bad, I can hardly read. There was a problem with my printer and everything has come half, all the letters. I'm struggling to read my own notes now today. Okay. So, John Urban asked Buddhi, I have a question for you. You know, I have been observing this city. I find that every day 365 soldiers come in different colors. Right? And these soldiers are looking so attractive. And they are doing so many activities in the city. And they give me so much of pleasure. They are always eager to serve me. All the time. At my beck and call. Right? I don't even have to tell them. They come and serve me. So who are these soldiers? So Buddhi tells him with a grave face, actually, I've got bad news for you. These soldiers are not under your command. These soldiers have been appointed by an agency called as the Central Time Command, CTC. These soldiers belong to CTC and they take instructions only from CTC. And the CTC is the one which has posted them in different cities. Just like, you know, United States may post their troops in Afghanistan or, you know, Israel or, you know, somewhere else. Or Vietnam, if you like. So, just like the United States posts these troops, the CTC has posted these troops all over the place, in the city. Right? And trust me, towards the end, this CTC, you will realize these soldiers are not your friends, they will destroy you. But John Urban said, no, I don't believe you at all. Come on, how is it possible? These guys are even changing the climatic conditions for me. And you tell me they are my enemy? They are serving me so well. I don't believe you. And John Urban, before she tries to tell something else, he leaves the place from there. As he leaves the place, he wanders to a nearby forest. This forest is called as Meta Forest. Right? He goes to this forest and he finds that in this forest, all the leaves and the trees are drying up. It's a forest of dry trees. But when he goes there, he finds that a man is sitting on top of one of the tree and is busy watering the tree. He is busy watering the leaves, the twigs, the branches. Very busy. So John cannot understand this. Hang on. Excuse me. What are you up to? What are you doing? He's saying, can you not see that I am watering the twigs, the branches? Because see, this forest is drying up. So John said, exactly, I am also seeing that the forest is drying up. But this is not the way you water. You have to water the root of a tree. To which the man replies to him, saying that, hang on, don't give me big philosophy. Can you not see that because I am watering this tree, can you not see so many trees standing here? And as he says that statement, one of the tree collapses and falls down. So John says, look, see, I told you the trees are drying up. Don't water these leaves and the twigs. To which he gives a counter argument. He says, think positively, John. Be positive in your life. You have a negative outlook towards life. You don't know anything. Failures are a part of life. We have to keep endeavoring. Sometimes it's okay, one tree will fall down, but see, the other dry trees are also surviving. Have they all fallen down? No. So have a positive outlook and endeavor positively. Everything will be alright. All the trees will become green one day. So he doesn't listen to John Urban. But because John Urban said the statement, he started meditating on his own statement. Hang on, I told him that you water the root. And then John Urban suddenly started thinking, am I watering the root of my own existence? He starts thinking like that. Am I the controller of this city? Did I build this city myself? Who made this city? Will this city in which I am living ever get destroyed? He starts getting all these questions from somewhere. And then, as he says this, one of his friends called as Mr. Mind, he comes and meets him. John, why are you so depressed? John is saying that, see, I'm thinking all these things. Am I watering the tree? Come on, John. Don't get so philosophical about things. Be realistic. So Mr. Mind tells him to be realistic. So John says, okay, thank you. Thank you. I felt some relief. Okay, so let me just not think about these matters. And he continues. As he gets back into his city and continues for a few more days, John Urban hears a rumor. One day, he hears a rumor by which he gets the shock of his life. The rumor is, people are discussing that John Urban is no longer the mayor of this city. Right? Neither is he the controller of this city. John Urban gets extremely disturbed. And then he remembers Budhi, his friend in City Academy. So he immediately goes to City Academy. And Budhi tells him, Budhi, you know what? I heard a rumor. People are talking in this city that I am no longer the controller, I am no longer their master. So Budhi says, yes, I always knew that. I was trying to tell you this last time, but you walked off from here before I could tell you. So he says, then who is this person who built this city? Who is the controller? So Budhi tells him, hang on, I'll tell you. There is one person who has built this city, and that person is the controller, and he is living inside your palace itself, in a room. So John says, oh yes, I know there is a room in my palace, and I know that somebody is living in this corner, but I have never visited this corner of my palace at all. I did make an attempt once to visit this room, but whenever I visit this room, there is this light. There is this light which I cannot tolerate. Because this light, whenever I visit this light, it tells me that I am not the owner of this city. It tries to give me some message. And I don't like that message somehow. Because, you know, I can't tolerate that I am not the controller of the... Because I, look at me, all these servants are serving me. I am the mayor. But somehow this light seems to tell me that I am not the mayor. So I stopped going to the room. Right? Now an example is given that Ravana, when he wanted to enjoy Sita, he tried several tactics. He even once, because Ravana had some mystic powers, he even brought a fictitious head, an illusory head of Lord Ramchandra, and showed it to Sita. Look, I have killed him. But obviously Sita Devi did not believe Ravana. So he was trying every trick that he could. So one day he went and consulted his wife. And his wife is Mandodari, right? Yeah. So I'm very poor at this. So Mandodari. So he consulted her one day. And Mandodari said, look, my dear husband, I do not necessarily approve of your approaching Sita. Obviously, no wife can tolerate it, right? So, but still, because you are so fixed, let me give you a suggestion. Why don't, see, you have so many mystic powers. Why don't you go with your entire body as Lord Ramchandra? You go as Lord Ramchandra instead of taking Lord Chandra's head, etc. You take the form of Lord Ramchandra, mystic powers, and you go. And Sita is always attracted to Ram. So it's very simple. Then you can enjoy her because she will not know that you are Ravan. So Ravan said, I know this, my dear. I have already tried this before. He said, what have you tried? He said that it is written in the scriptures that if you want to assume the form of some living entity, then you must meditate on that living entity. So much so, then you will get that form. Yam yam vapismaranam bhavam tyajanti kalevaram. Whatever you meditate, you will attain that form. But he said that whenever I try to meditate on this Lord Ramchandra, and when I look at Sita, she looks, I feel that she is my mother. I cannot enjoy. This is a problem I have. And you don't please suggest this thing to me. Right? So this is the same situation John Urban was going through. John Urban, whenever he went to that room, he was getting some message, which was actually good for him. But he didn't want that. Because Mr. Mind told him, no, don't go there. You'll get enlightened. Don't go to that room. So John Urban never went to that room at all. So when Buddhi was asking him, he was narrating all the situation to her. So Buddhi told John Urban, don't worry, John. He is your friend in that room. He will not take over your life. He will not take away your free will. He will never make you his slave. Because he is your real true friend. Just try to approach him. Once! Try to approach him. So John said, okay, let me try. And he came back to his city. But only the rumors were going on. The soldiers were still serving him. So in a few days, again John Urban forgot the instructions of Buddhi and started thinking that these soldiers are my servants. Again, as soon as he started to enjoy life, after a few days and months, he suddenly started realizing that these soldiers who are dressed in black and white and all these colorful dresses, they are no longer listening to him. Slowly, he started finding out that they are no longer come on time. Earlier, they were always sharp at 10 o'clock. They used to do the march past in the city. But now, they are not at all punctual. So, John Urban went out to see what's wrong with these soldiers. As he went out, he passed 9 gates were there to this city. He went out of, tried to go out of one of the gates. But one of the soldiers blocked him, saying that, hang on, John, where are you going? He said, I want to cross the gates. I want to go out to another city for enjoying. No, you can't. Sorry. We are the soldiers. We are blocking you. He says, what? Just yesterday you were serving me. Today you are blocking me from going, from my sense enjoyment. How dare you block me at the gates? He says, no, we can't allow you. So John gets very disturbed. And he goes to the next gate. saying that, okay, at least I can go out of that gate. Another soldier blocks him. Sorry, you can't. He goes to all the 9 gates and the soldiers are now started blocking him. No longer John is able to move freely in that city. So slowly but surely, John Urban starts getting a realization that now he is being controlled. Thus far, his only source of enjoyment was that he was under control. He was controlling everyone, so that everyone, all the soldiers were serving him. But now, John got a realization, now I am being controlled. So, he went to the commander in chief. Because he is the mayor, he called all his commanders, he called all his praja, all his folks, and then told them, let us boycott these soldiers from tomorrow. Because they are now not listening to me at all. Let us boycott them. And then he started telling them, I will give you all facilities in return for boycotting these soldiers. Right? From tomorrow, I will have cosmetic surgery done for all of you in the kingdom. So that you are able to enjoy more and more. So don't listen to these soldiers who are blocking sense enjoyment. Let us overcome that by cosmetic surgery. Right? And then he tells them, I am taking responsibility for all of you. Don't worry. I will ensure that this cosmetic surgery is done. Everything will be alright. Because I am this city. Whichever city that you are living in, I am that city. So John Urban started almost now getting that consciousness that he was non-different from that city where he was living in. He started associating with that. So, in this allegory, obviously, it is very clear that what is this city that we are talking about?
Body.
The city is our material body. And who is John Urban?
Soul.
John Urban is the spirit soul who is getting very attached to the cities. And what are the different cities that we saw? The aqua city, that they are the different bodies which John Urban acquired. And what is the city which has got these gates? That is a human body, and each of them are the holes which are there in this body through which we perform sense gratification. Right? So, and who are the soldiers? Pardon? Pardon me? Days and age, yeah. Soldiers are nothing but time. Kala. Kala Shakti of the Lord. 365 soldiers. Right? All the time marching here and there. Right? So, this time is now blocking our sense enjoyment in this world. So therefore, through this allegory, Hridayananda Maharaj said that initially this body serves us very well. So we start getting attached very much to this body. But eventually, we start thinking that we are the controller. And just as we start thinking we are the controller, this body starts ditching us and stops obeying our instructions. So again, John Urban went back to Buddhi. This time when he went back to Buddhi, Buddhi told him, come along with me. I am going to take you to some place right now. And Buddhi took him to a lake. When John Urban went with Buddhi to this lake, what did he see in this lake? He saw that at the banks of this lake, everybody is interested in that now. Everybody is looking there. Okay. It looks very attractive. Person. Saffron color. Okay, very colorful purse. Okay. So, what happened is, John Urban along with Buddhi took her to this lake. On the banks of this lake, he saw there was a huge mango tree which had lot of fruits. And they saw lot of children were jumping into this lake. So John was wondering, why are the children jumping into this lake? So Buddhi told him, they are jumping into this lake to eat mangoes. But John said, hang on, there is a mango tree at the bank of the lake. And why are people jumping inside the tree? They should be climbing the mango. So he said, no. These children, they are seeing the reflection of the mango in the water and therefore they are jumping inside to grab that mango. And as soon as they go to grab the mango disappears. It's not coming in their hands. So all these children are very miserable. And so John Urban says, that he thinks that because I am the mayor of the city, I should relieve the misery of my members. So he came there with that objective. But then when we heard Buddhi telling this, then he realized, am I also chasing something which is illusory instead of chasing the original? That's what he thinks. So the conclusion which Buddhi gives him is that instead of chasing these illusory pleasures, go back to that person who is residing in your palace and he will tell you how to reach that original mango tree and pick that original mango. So John asks him, can I go and meet him directly, that person? So Buddhi says, yes, you can go and meet him directly, but there is a process for meeting him directly. And that process is what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport. The process of turning towards that Paramatma is by the process of hearing about that Paramatma from someone who has already realized that Paramatma. A very small story is about a thief. This thief wanted to loot the kingdom. So this thief came to know that the king is holding a big assembly in his court, and in that assembly the king is going to give lot of gifts. So the thief thinks, let me also go in the garb of a sage and then go and take something from the king. So as he goes and sits with the sages in the court, the king announces that the reason I called all of you my dear sages is because I have a young daughter and I want to give my daughter to one of you. And I'll give lot of wealth also along with that. Now when the sages heard this, the sages had nothing to do with wealth and women. So they said, hang on, we thought you had called us for some Krishna Katha, but since you are not doing that, we are not interested in your daughter, neither are we interested in your wealth. So the sages started going out of the palace. And the thief was thinking that, wow, this is interesting, because one by one the sages are going out, my turn will come, and I have come here to rob, but the king himself is giving me all his wealth and his daughter also on top of that. So it's a very good situation for me. So he sat down, but then he was sitting right behind. So some 100 people were sitting in front of him. So when the 100th sage also left, and by the time the thief's turn came to go to the king, the thief had a change of heart. He said, hang on, when everybody is refusing this, that means these people must be having something much, much higher than the king's wealth and the king's daughter. So thinking like this, he went to the king, and when the king offered him that, take my daughter and my wealth, the thief said, no, if there was something, there is something, some problem with your daughter and with your wealth. Otherwise all these fellows would not have walked out, right? So because they are sages, they are wise, they walked out. So because they walked out, that means something is the problem. And also that they have something much more valuable than what you have, you are giving. So let me also go there and find out what is that valuable thing they have. So saying this fellow also walked out. So Srila Prabhupada says in this analogy that this is the power of association. When we see our spiritual masters who, and when we see Srila Prabhupada and his second level of second generation disciples, and then when we see that all these people are giving up all the worldly comforts and going, then we associating with them start realizing that maybe there is something which is giving a higher taste in this life rather than the life that we are pursuing. So, and that is what Srila Prabhupada says, that the way that you can go and approach that Paramatma is by the process of Sadhu Sangha. So Paramatma realization will come by taking association of devotees. Otherwise, so many people adopt different ways of understanding this Paramatma. Some people take the approach of Sankhya Yoga by analyzing what is spirit and what is matter. This is called as the Naiti principle. By going through every material object and finding, is this spiritual, and then questioning that and then rejecting it. No, this is not spiritual. This is not spiritual. This is not spiritual. Till you come to that platform where you will understand that, no, yes, this is the original spirit. Now the problem with this kind of approach is that it takes too long to understand Paramatma realization. It will take years and years. Gurudas Prabhu, who is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, once heard in Srila Prabhupada's class, you are not the body. So Gurudas Prabhu said, okay, Prabhupada said, I am not the body in the class. We are not the bodies, or I am not the body. Something like that Prabhupada said, and he went with this message. And as he went, he saw a wall somewhere. And this is a real incident which happened in New York. So he went and he said, if I am not this body, I should be able to walk through that wall. Right? So he said, Prabhupada said, it must be true that I am not this body. So he went and he, with great force, he started trying to walk through the wall. And obviously when he hit the wall, he got a bump and a bruise. So then when he got that, then his mind started thinking, why is that? Prabhupada said that, you know, we are not the body. Then he thought that maybe Prabhupada is not his body, you know, but I am my body. You know. So he started thinking like that. So this is the problem of trying to understand only the philosophy instructions and not having a realization. So through Sankhya Yoga process, through only philosophy, then we will not be able to understand this Paramatma realization. When we meditate inside our heart, when we cannot see Him externally, when we meditate inside our heart, then we can get this Paramatma realization, which is called as Dhyana Yoga. But the problem is, people don't know what to meditate on. Some people meditate on red light, some people on blue light, some people on candle light. There are so many people who come for Bhakti Virksha programs. One lady was also telling, we are meditating on a candle, she was telling me. You know, with one pointed attention, you have to sit and look at the candle. Okay, by looking at and staring at a candle for millions of years, we are still not going to attain Paramatma realization. Why? Because it is clearly mentioned in 10th canto, Dhyana Avasthita Tat Gatena Manasat Pashyanti Yam Yogino. It is said that Paramatma is the one who eventually you will realize who should be the object of your real meditation. Even Indra, Chandra, Varuna, everyone meditates on him. So the end result of all meditation is that Paramatma only you will realize. What all the yogis are sitting in the Himalayas are trying. In fact, it is mentioned that the people who went to Himalayas in those days, these are people who renounced everything. They renounced their families and went to the Himalayas. But because they only renounced matter, but they didn't have any attachment to Krishna, when they eventually spent many lives in the Himalayas, the desire to control did not go away. So even there in the Himalayas, these sages were fighting with each other as to who will be the controller there. Right? So, but when they realized they wanted to control, it was too late because their families wouldn't accept them back. So they can't control. So it is said that they walked to the other side of the Himalayas. These rishis, these sages walked to the other side of the Himalayas. And it is mentioned that the word Russia, the country where they went and set up another city for enjoyment, the word Russia comes from the word rishis. So that's why it got the name Russia. So even by this meditation, the desire to enjoy doesn't go away. So when you do Dhyana Yoga, then the Paramatma, it is said, is also the giver of mystic opulences. So when the Paramatma is giving us mystic opulences, what happens? We start enjoying the facilities of mystic opulences given by that Paramatma, and we forget the whole idea of going to that Paramatma. Just like when we go to a shopping mall, we may go to buy one banyan, right? But when we go, finally we see there is an MP3 player there. So we'll go and buy the MP3 player, then we'll go and buy a printer and a cell phone. And then at home we realize, why did we go to the shopping mall? Oh, we wanted a banyan, actually, right? Or a kurta I went to buy. So we'll go with some objective and we'll end up buying something else. So that is what happens to the dhyana yogis, so-called dhyana yogis. They get this ashta siddhis with ashtanga yoga, mystic powers, and they forget the original goal. So Srila Prabhupada therefore is emphasizing in this purport that it is only the process of developing a relationship with God by serving the devotees that we will actually truly turn to this Paramatma and attain self-realization. So that is the gist of this verse. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments? Everyone is bored and tired. I see bored expression. Grantar Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Time for Ekadashi Prasadam.